Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is...
Don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody... take your man.
I remind you that I've done this before.
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. On this program, the Smithsonian Institute will open its National Museum of African American History and Culture. The Academy Awards is the third lowest viewership ever. You know, this is around the Oscar so white boycott, I guess is what they're calling it. And Melissa Harris Perry, she walked our first show over protest. She was in protest over NBC's and MSNBC's news coverage, which she called a betrayal. And Apple is backed by a judge in the new iPhone access case. We have that. And Subway actually ensures that their foot-long subs are 12 inches long after a judge okayed an agreement. So we have that this week in court and much more. So I want to welcome you again onto the program, listening to Esprit.net News, where we give you a week worth of news in just one setting. Now, although we're just fresh out of Black History Month, I didn't give a Black History Month back, but I'm just going to give you one off the top of my head in the spirit of making sure that we salute all of the facts. And I know this is not a Black History fact that since we're in March, I'll give you a Black History fact that's not so a Black History fact. But did you know that George Washington, you know, the whole fairy tale and story about him having wooden teeth, George Washington didn't have wooden teeth. He actually pulled his teeth from his slaves, made dentures, and used the slaves' teeth for George Washington. There you have it. Since we're not in Black History Month, this is a fact that we're giving you on the show. So I think we'll probably do that every show. Doesn't have to be a Black History fact, but it's a fact about Black people, so I just thought I'd share that. Now, I want to remind you, our call-in number tonight is area code 323-693-3038. If you want to participate in the program, for everyone that's on the line, I just want to say hey, and those in the chat room, hey to you too. And if you would like to write us at any time, just send your comments to news@soulofsyracuse.com. Now, our first story, official data on U.S. crude oil inventories showed an increase, adding to the supply side concerns and sending oil prices lower for the second day in a row. This is on today. Now, a rally in crude oil prices faded yesterday after the industry data from the American Petroleum Institute showed domestic crude oil inventories grew by 9.9 million barrels for the week ending February 26. Now, official government, that's the official government numbers from the U.S. Energy Information Administration. They show stockpiles grew by a little bit more, 10.4 million barrels. Now, at our 518 million barrels, U.S. crude oil inventories are at historic highs for this time of year, is what the IEA said in their weekly report. We have 518 million barrels in reserve. So, hey, you know, I think the president on his way out should pretty much load, you know, oil inventory into the market and bring gas down to about 50 cents a gallon, just to say he did bring it down. That's just me. That's my bad sense of humor. Now, the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits unexpectedly rose last week, but the underlying trend continues to point to a strengthening labor market. So although people applied more last week, that doesn't mean our unemployment rate is going to go any higher. Now, for the first time in nearly 97 years, the price of a stamp is set to go down. Now, on April 10th, a first-class stamp will cost 47 cents. That's down from its 49-cent price. Now, the reduction is part of a prearranged agreement with Congress. The post office got an increase in the price of stamps by 3 cents in 2014 to help raise $4.6 billion in revenue. But the price hike was only set to last for 2 years. Now, it gets to keep 1 cent of that increase to keep up with inflation, but the post office is practically begging Congress to let it keep the stamps at 49 cents. Now, it says the rollback in prices to 47 cents will cost the already strapped post office $2 billion a year. So standard mail, such as first-class letters and postcards, make up 76% of the postal services sales, all which have been price-capped by Congress. Now, they cap prices at Congress, and they make the Postal Service secure X amount of years of pension as a burden to the post office just to privatize it. And now Congress, who has not given the post office a dime in the last 10 years, I think since it was early George Bush's terms, but the Congress, which it says U.S. Post Office, will not give out of the budget any money to the post office and are trying to bankrupt them. So the post office is at a strain, and now price of stamps have gone down. Now, if you didn't know, postcard stamps prices will also drop by a penny to 34 cents, and international stamps will cost $1.15. That's down from $1.20. So good news, bad news in that scenario. Now, I know it's been a lot reported on this, but I'm going to mention it anyway. The Rolling Stones will play a free concert in Havana this month, now becoming the biggest act to play Cuba since 1957, because no acts could play in Cuba since 1957. So the Rolling Stones say that they will play a free concert in Havana on March 25th, becoming the, supposedly the biggest U.S. group. Well, they're not technically U.S. because it's the Rolling Stones, so they're British. All right, can't really give them any credit for that. But anyway, they're a big group, so they're playing in Cuba. Now, Daisy Bell Ward, who was born on February 29th, she marked her birthday this year as the oldest living person on leap year. Now, because leap year is only observed every 4 years, Ward prefers to tell people that she's actually turning 25. So this year, her birthday, Ward showed up in her Sunday's finest to a huge party, including an 80-piece marching band. So she said that Mother Nature made it so that every 365 days plus 5 hours and 49 minutes and a few seconds make up 1 year. So just in case you didn't know, that's the actual cycle of the Earth. 365 days, 5 hours, 49 minutes, and a few seconds. That's 1 year. All right, just thought I'd share that part. I want to remind you, you're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. Our call-in number tonight is area code 323-693-3038. And if you're on the line, you know, you hit one, I will bring you in. Hey, I see our commission's here, so I'll go to the phone lines and bring in Fetimus. Hey, Kathleen, how are you doing? I had to be slow on the tick on that. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I'm good. I figured you must have wanted to come in on that stamp deal, huh?
No.
Our stamps are going down. No, that's not it.
No. I came in on George Washington.
Oh, yes. Hey, you know, it sounds like a harsh fact, but it is the truth, and so we need to exploit, get rid of those myths when we can. So just so that you know, George Washington used his slave's teeth to put in his mouth.
That was awful. I don't think I needed to know.
Hey, come on now. You'll never look at George Washington the same way.
My God. That was awful. It was all awful anyway, but my God.
Exactly. So stop making the heroes out of people who brutalize other folks. And so it's the interesting thing to me, and one of the reasons why you would, you know, put out facts is because sometimes we get to points where we put people on pedestals and then we punish other folks for very petty things, right? So that whole, remember the whole Mike Vick things and the dog fighting? He wasn't even there. It was just at his house and it was his cousins and all this other stuff. He's playing football someplace else, but it was his house. Convict him, sent him to jail. Now, we have dog tracks in this country, and they race dogs all day. So we don't really look at animals the same way, but when we talk about humans, you know, they'll say, oh, my gosh, he needs to have A, B, and C, and D happen, and he needs to apologize and do this and that. And then this man who is, you know, oh, it was George Washington, we need to talk about the brutality of human beings on other human beings opposed to, you know, what you're doing to pets. It may still be bad to do something to a pet, but I'm not going to qualify it. But at the same time, you know what I mean. So we go through life like totally occupying our mind with pettiness of our own human behavior at the same time. Huh?
I said no pun intended. Right.
None at all. That's all I wanted. That was the point that I was making. That's why I did the story and forgot all about it as soon as I said that about that fact. But thanks for bringing that back up, Kathleen. I just wanted to say that. Oh, by the way, no, you're fine. Now Marvin Gaye, Elvis Costello, who I actually like, Elvis Costello. Tom Petty, Niles Rogers, finally Chic, right? And Bernard Edwards from Chic. And they'll be the latest inductees into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. I always think that they don't get their just due. But
wow,
the artist will be in.
They deserve it.
Yes. He's still writing hit songs. There's two artists that's on the chart now from songs that Niles Rogers produced. You know, and we're talking Niles Rogers and Bernard Edwards from Duran Duran to, you know, Diana Ross and let alone Chic's own stuff to Madonna's Like a Virgin to, I mean, they've been crossing music for eons and don't get respect. But, you know, David Bowie and all of those songs, those are all Niles Rogers and Bernard Edwards.
Wow.
So, yeah, it is interesting to finally say, hey, wait a minute, you need to recognize these guys. These guys, out of anybody else, I think should be put on pedestals because there are great song producers who do it for a certain genre of music, but they have actually kind of just kept putting out from the, what's the other people who just won a couple years ago, Daft Punk, the group with Pharrell Williams sung some lead song. Niles Rogers produced that. That was like 2 years ago, and now they have another young group that's on the charts, and Niles Rogers produced that. So those guys have been putting in work for a long time. These are not even retreads. They're still making music. So
wow.
I want to just acknowledge them. And those writers and musicians behind Oh, by the way, Marvin Gaye and Edwards will be and Bernard Edwards, okay, will be inducted. What do you call it? Posthumously, when they passed away. So since they have already passed, they're still getting inducted, and so we still have Marvin Gaye's, who wrote, you know, Sexual Healing and Let's Get It On. See, I shouldn't have said that, because
yes,
it makes me want to sing the song. Every time I hear this song, it makes me want to sing it. So Niles Rodgers, obviously, and Bernard Edwards. We want to talk about, I don't know, what song can we put there? Sister Sledge, He's the Greatest Dancer. You know, wow, that kind of song. Oh, yeah, you know they did that song. Yes, like that, and Upside Down, you know, Diana Ross songs. But yeah, there you go. It sounds just like Chic when you just hear the music. It's like, wait a minute, what is that? And so, yes, I know. See, that's why I hate saying songs in the newscast, because it plays in my head every time I. That's what music people do. All right. Now, a judge in the United States has ruled that Apple cannot be forced to give the FBI access to a locked iPhone in a case that echoes the ongoing legal battle that they're having someplace else. But the judge in Brooklyn denied the motion this week by the U.S. Justice Department to get Apple to unlock a phone in a drug case. Now, the ruling in Brooklyn on Monday centers around the same point that the San Bernardino case, but the two court cases are not linked, so the magistrate in San Bernardino does not have to pay attention to the ruling and remarks made by the U.S. judge. Although sometimes they do, he does not have to, because it was a state ruling opposed to I don't know how that goes, but opposed to it being a federal ruling. I do know how it goes, but just so that you know, they're still going to be fighting this in another court. And they didn't say if they were going to appeal it or not either. So, but he did rule that, you know, it just didn't make any sense. It's a technology issue. So I think the ACLU also this week came out on side of Apple to say that the government shouldn't have a key to just unlock everybody's data just because to be able to do that randomly. They should get a court order or warrant just like everybody else. Now, the problem in this Apple case
is... Is that what the issue was, that they did not get a warrant?
No, the issue is that the FBI wants Apple to give them software to unlock those phones automatically, where Apple says, right, if you come to us with a warrant, we will unlock it, and the FBI doesn't want them to look at it. So they're saying, we want our own key. So they want Apple to create software that's going to backdoor their security so that the FBI has it, so that in case they want to use it, they can use it.
Oh, okay. So thank you for breaking that down, because I was actually not on Apple's side. I'm like, open the daggone phone. But now I see you saying if they gave them a warrant, they'd be willing to open it for them, but they're not going to create. Because I kept hearing this, create the software. I'm like, are you trying to tell me that Apple can't open its own phone? What are they, you know, they never made that very clear, you know?
Well,
and I think that was intentional so that people would not know to... It's like they were making Apple out to be the bad guy.
Yes, because if Apple creates software that automatically bypasses their security, then that can leak on the internet, and those iPhones are not secure. So they're saying we can't create something that's going to create a hole in our system just so the FBI can get into our system when they want to. If we create this key, anybody can get a master key. You know how technology goes.
Of course.
Right, so they're saying...
Thank you for breaking that down.
Yes, they're really against that. Now, this week, President Barack Obama said that he must be good luck for the University of Alabama's football team, because he welcomed the Crimson Tide to Washington for the fourth time in his 7 years as president on Wednesday. He said, in fact... You can call me Obama, like, because he's such a good luck for Alabama. So he said, "Do you like that?" Is what he said to the team. But Alabama earned the trip after winning college national football championship in January. So the Tide defeated Clemson 50-45. But that's really funny. Call me Obama. So it's almost like bittersweet to have a president that actually is that fluent, and at the same time he's about to leave, and we see these clowns running for office.
Yeah,
it is horrifying. And by the way, the president and the first lady has been announced that they're going to be speakers at the South by Southwest concert this year. So, you know, in Austin they have the big festival, South by Southwest, where, you know, a bunch of groups, Prince has played there, and all these big groups have played there. And I think it's a week-long concert series in Austin. Oh, by the way, Courtney, if you're in Austin, because I have a relative that just moved there, she and her husband, I know she's going to go since the First Lady and the President is going to be speaking at the same event. That should be a treat for them, right? It's a it's a music festival, and they're gonna open it, the president and first lady. Now this is the fun part of their term that they get to have, right? After such a bad financial crisis and all of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is cool. Now the Smithsonian Institute will open a new National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington D.C. in September, with the president leading the dedication and ribbon-cutting ceremony. It'll feature a collection of 11 exhibits to trace the history of slavery, segregation, civil rights. We have so much more than this stuff, but anyway. And African-American achievements in arts, entertainment, sports, and the military, and a wider, you know, cultures of artifacts that are on loan from other institutes may also be displayed. So, such as documents signed by Abraham Lincoln, the 13th Amendment, and the Emancipation Proclamation. According to 60 Minutes, the collection will include, I don't know why I want to see this, but the casket of Emmett Till, whose death ignited the Civil Rights Movement. Another artifact is the dress that Marian Anderson wore to sing at the Lincoln Memorial 75th year. The Lincoln Memorial 75 years ago, after being denied access to the Washington Concert Hall because she was black. So they have the dress there. And the Smithsonian Institute will open on the National Museum of African American History September 24th, in case I didn't say the date. I know I said it was in September, but it's September 24th. But there's a lot of artifacts being shown. There's a Bible from a Buffalo soldier and other paperwork. There's some actually great things. I looked at the list, but I don't know how I feel about that. But hopefully it'll help kids have like some kind of culture in Washington, D.C. that's catering to African-American history. So I think it's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yes. Now, forget Wi-Fi. Get ready for Li-Fi. I guess that's what we're going to call it. It's the ultra-fast technology that uses lights opposed to radio waves. So Wi-Li. That uses lights and is 100 times faster than current systems. So at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona this week, a French startup company demonstrated the capabilities of Li-Fi using just an office lamp to start to play a smartphone video. Isn't that cool? Just use light. Again, that goes into our quantum world, but I won't have a conversation about the powers that you have within yourself. You don't really won't need electricity after a while, but this is just showing you light energy actually has power. That's why the sun.
All right.
What'd you say?
I said, all right there now.
Yeah, it works. Now, AT&T is to take their TV service online. So a new DirecTV package won't require customers to have a dish or box. Now, AT&T confirms that DirecTV packages that will run on apps do not need a dish or TV box top or set top. They'll be coming around the fourth quarter of this year, but they refuse to reveal the channel lineup or pricing for that new service. So if you get, you're going to be able to get television over the internet is what's going on. So just so that you know, you won't have to run cable and you won't have to have a satellite dish. All you have
this
to do is have an internet connection.
I can't wait till they put the cable companies out of business. What?
They don't
even.
I can't wait. Yep. And again, thank the Obama administration because they made it possible, and I know I did this story a couple of weeks ago, that they deregulated the cable companies. That's why everyone's cable price is going up, so that you don't have to use their cable box, which means you can have an Apple box or a Google or any number of subscribers. They can stream cable now, whereas before you would have to use the cable line to come in, and you would have to use that company's box to come in your set. So thank you, President Obama. Our lives are changing, and we don't even know why, but there we go. Yeah, so Bad Boys 3 is coming to a theater near you. Will Smith and Jerry Bruckheimer have agreed to make the third installment of their hit franchise, or that hit franchise, and Smith and Bruckheimer discussed the project during what they called a marathon meeting. It was alleged that Will, who starred in both Bad Boy films with Martin Lawrence, that he agreed to the first to reboot it. So hopefully Martin Lawrence will come back, because it wouldn't be Bad Boys with Will and somebody else, by the way. So I'm sure as long as they have a storyline, Martin would probably be back. But if you don't know, the first installment of the action film Bad Boys was released in 1995, and it earned over $140 million globally. Bad Boy 2, which was released in 2003, and it earned $270 million globally. Good Lord. And those movies are almost 10 years apart. So the next
wow.
one will be more than 10 years apart.
Wow.
You know, isn't it sick as we start talking about the Academy Awards, because we're getting to that in a second, but all these other things, and we still have to fight to make movies? That movie made $270 million globally.
Perfect.
All right, so before I get to the Academy Awards,
straight
you know Melissa Harris.
You know?
Straight Outta Compton, yes. Yes, they made $100 million quick. Like, so they're going
like
to probably get closer
day.
To. Yeah, they're going to be out. They're going to be out there. Their number's going to be gone. Melissa Harris Perry grew frustrated with her show as it was being preempted throughout the presidential election. So she wrote an email to staff saying, here is the reality. Our show or noticed in the midst of an election season. After 4 years of building audience, developing a brand, and developing trust with our viewers, we are effectively utterly silenced. She said, I will not be used as a tool for their purpose. She said, I am not a token, mammy, little brown bobblehead. I am not owned by NBC. That's NBC chief Andrew Lack and the MSNBC's president, Phil Griffin, or NBC. She said, I love our show. I want it back. And she tweeted a post on Sunday. I guess it was on Sunday morning. Bidding farewell to her beloved pound hashtag Nerdland. And a little while after that, they canceled her show. So, you know, the Daily News reported that the conflict began during a specific segment where I guess what she did was a segment on Beyonce's Formation video, which the network execs opposed, and Harris Perry did the segment anyway. So they ended up having a problem with her and started interrupting her show. There you have it.
That's just
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with that, because they're showing their diversity on MSNBC. So there is no liberal media out there generally. I just wanted to say that for the record. And they're whitening up. I think even today there was an announcement that what is her name? And I actually liked her. She used to have
Rachel
the show
Maddow?
During the day. Nope. She's younger. She married someone who actually works in the Obama administration. Alexandra Witt. Alex Witt show?
Know.
I think they canceled her show. She was on during the day, Alex Witt, and I'm trying to think were they playing another show, but her show was actually good at some point. I don't think I watch MSNBC anymore. Probably in the last like 5 months I haven't watched them, but the thing is that the guy, Steve Kornacki, and all of those guys, they have whitened up that network beyond, have some girl on there now named Kate Snow. Like, they really whitened up the network and got rid of all the diversity on MSNBC. They're just showing you who they are.
They're complaining about the Academy Awards, but nobody's complaining about that. That's interesting.
It almost makes you think about the world to say, you know, from the Donald Trumps of the world to what's going on at MSNBC and cleaning up the networks, and that whole whitening of all the stuff is not coincidental. But, you know, I want to say, hey, Melissa Harris Perry received public support from many people in recent days, including Eric Holder, the former attorney general, who praised the show for focusing on issues and stories often unheard and ignored. And the outgoing MSNBC host said that her exit negotiations with the network fell through this week after she refused to accept the terms of her non-disparagement clause that she described as a gag order. So James Perry, her husband, he was one of the people who led the negotiations with MSNBC to get her the show. He said that MSNBC's non-disparagement clause would have restricted his wife from speaking about MSNBC only or restricted her to speaking about MSNBC only when it was positive or in her academic work, and she refused to sign it, and they're refusing to pay her. So not only did she take a stand on her show, she's taking the show after just to tell her story. So much respect to her. And, you know, like you said before, it's sad that we can't hear that story.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
No other major network is going to cover this.
So angry.
Yeah. Don't even know where to begin with that stuff. Now, okay, so while I'm doing this, the Academy Awards, let's talk about that. They hit an 8-year low for their ratings on Sunday night. The new low came after, you know, a lot of people boycotted, but Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith came in, decided to skip the ceremony, and then media picked it up once they did. And according to early results of the country's biggest 56 cities, the 88th Academy Awards scored a 23.4 rating, which means that during the 8:30 to midnight broadcast, about a quarter of the households in cities were watching, or 36% overall was watching the ceremony. Now, this year's award ceremony was hosted by Chris Rock, whose entire monologue it was to school the industry for the lack of opportunity for black actors and, you know, in Hollywood. And, you know, he did a lot of stuff. He said, "Is Hollywood racist? You're damn right." And Rock, for almost his very first word to his last, brutalized, like, Hollywood's lack of, like, diversity. Like, he was brutal about it. And the host finished the ceremony with saying, "Black Lives Matter." He said, "Everyone wants to know in the world is Hollywood racist?" And he said, "Is it burning cross races? No. Is it fetching some lemonade races? No. It's a different type of races. Hollywood is sorority races. Like, it's like when you, I always think this is funny. I'm sorry. It's like, we like you, Rhonda, but you're not kind of, you're not I kind of Kappa. Like, it's like a sorority kind of thing. So I actually, yeah, because we can all relate to that, right? It's like, I'm not racist. I'm liberal, but we can't have you here with the white folks kind of thing. But he cracked a lot of jokes, and he dubbed the Oscars at the beginning as the White People's Choice Awards. And so I personally enjoyed the monologue. I know there's been a lot of criticism out there, but Chris Rock did a great job. And so shout out to Chris Rock.
Shout out to Chris Rock.
Did you get a chance to?
No, I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I'd be interested to see if he gets called back. I guess he figured, like, this was his last term because he did it last year. He probably went with the president, look, this is my last term, so I may as well just knock it out the park.
No, you know, but didn't I say that, like, when he got announced? That was my response. I said, I hope Chris Rock goes in there and get a lifetime ban, and I want him to earn it. Do you remember that conversation? I am glad he went there and used his whole time in his monologue to tell them what he wanted to say. He gets to be edgy. No other comic could have done it. It wouldn't have been Steve Harvey. It wouldn't have been Kevin Hart. It wouldn't have been anybody else. So the only political comedian out there who was going to not pacify was probably Chris Rock. And he did a great job of making it funny. But at the same time, it was a wake-up call. Now,
you know,
according to...
Harvey would have ignored the entire issue ridiculed black people.
For not being
got a standing ovation from white people for putting down black folks. That's what Harvey would have done.
Yeah. Now, one of the great jokes that Chris Rock told, too, that I enjoyed was the fact that Kevin Hart was there. So he said Kevin Hart was there, and he said every time you look around, Kevin Hart is working. Like, Kevin Hart works more than people in porno. Like, he just makes that many movies. And he said that if I wasn't here, Kevin Hart has taken too many jobs away from me, so I didn't. He said, I didn't walk away from the gig when the protests start because Kevin Hart would have took just another job from me. And Kevin Hart just laughed. But that's how he lightened it up. It was still a shot at them. But y'all going to go find Kevin Hart. Now, according to Nielsen's, 5 times in the last 10 years, the Oscar broadcast has drawn more than 40 million viewers. In all 5 instances, the black audience was almost solely responsible for driving that figure above 40 million, if only because each of those 5 years included multiple black nominees and winners in key categories. And coincidentally, the last time it did that, when Chris Rock was hosting, it drew its record number crowd, not just a black audience, but the record number of viewers was the time that Chris Rock hosted the first time. That should tell you something about having minorities. They didn't come, and it's one of the lowest in Oscar history, the viewership.
Now, you know, I'm really glad that you're reporting this, because that is another thing. I didn't hear anybody address it. It's kind of like a Million Man March.
Right. And those of us who are living through the Million Man March, we know that was over 1 million people, because DC Transit reported that they sold 1.3 million tickets on the 3 stops of the mall that day. That's why we know what the count is.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we have to do a better we need to do a better job reporting is the problem.
Did
those numbers
are
out there.
Did you hear them talking about this on the news and stuff? Because I didn't hear a word.
No. I pull these stories right off the news feeds. All major media get the same news feeds that everybody else get, and the editors choose what stories that they want to tell you. That's the problem. So here we go. Now I know in other Oscar news, you know, Chris Rock called out this woman, Linda Dunn, whose daughter is in the Girl Scouts with his daughter. And so he called her out to say, his daughter is Zaria, Zara, kept saying, he said, my youngest called me up and said, Daddy, how come we never sell more the most cookies, and how come Miss Dunn wins every year? So he brought out the Girl Scouts and had them fan the audience of the Oscars, of the Academy Awards, and they raised $65,000 that one night of Girl Scout cookies.
What?
It's one of the best images of that. I didn't watch it, but I did see the news reports, and this is a news story because the Linda, I guess it's Spragley Dunn, she actually responded to it. There's a news story because they contacted her. She did interviews, and she said she's not upset that Chris did that and called her out, but she said she started getting phone calls and stuff by saying, Chris Rock called you out, but their daughters are in the same Girl Scout troop. So she said that Chris Rock's wife is a very active participant in Girl Scouts, and they are actually pretty good friends. And she posted a picture of her and Chris Rock's wife. But they said that...
Ex-wife, right?
His ex-wife, yes. But they said Chris Rock's... the Scouts ended up selling 13,000 boxes and raising $65,243.
And what did he do? What did he do? He called it out on the Academy Awards, or?
Oh no, he brought out the Girl Scouts. Like it was like maybe 20 of them from that Girl Scout troop, and had them fan through the audience. You know, Vice President Joe Biden gave him $20. Like they were buying Girl Scout cookies.
Oh my gosh!
Yes,
I love it.
Oh yeah, it was a good sight, but he did. What are the highlights for all of us who did not watch the Oscars? Reading that news story is a good story. So now Linda Dunn actually started her own campaign using the Twitter hashtag Team Linda to sell Girl Scout cookies online. So she's gonna try to. They're gonna have a competition. But this is Englewood Cliffs in New Jersey. Their Girl Scout troops are now battling because. Chris just had to up her. And she owns a marketing company, so she is already pretty big. I'm sure there was no other way to get her.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was cool to bring the little girls on and Chris stand around
them
with them. It looked like one of those Jerry Lewis telethons because he had the number posted up on stage about how much they were selling. It's really cool. Now, I know, as we go through that. Now, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and CEO of Facebook, has recently issued a corporate-wide memo chastising employees who, despite his earlier warnings, have been crossing out the phrase Black Lives Matter and writing All Lives Matter on the company's free expression wall on their campus in Northern California. And this has to say something about your company internally. If they feel compelled to combat Black Lives Matter. Now, here's why they shouldn't do that. A black father of two was running away when he was fatally shot several times by a white police officer, witnesses say. His last name is Dinkins, 24, fired on by officers as he fled into the backyard in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and bystanders were shocked. This is this week. This week, another white officer shoots dead an unarmed black grocer in his yards from his home in Alabama. Now, this guy's father was one of the first black officers in Montgomery, Alabama. Gregory Gunn, 58, died this morning after he was shot in a residential neighborhood after a patrolman, A.C. Smith, shot him 3:20 in the morning. Now, Officer Aaron Smith, 23, was arrested and charged with murder and was released by Montgomery County Jail on $150,000 bail. Now, the police is working with the State Bureau of Investigation, said that there was enough probable cause to arrest him but declined to elaborate. And also this week, a gunman opened fire at a Texas campaign headquarters of a black candidate running for sheriff as he shouted, F the N-word, and the white man allegedly pulled up outside the campaign offices in Beaumont, Texas, and then shot through the window and drove off. Now, this is why we say Black Lives Matter, right? So we have three this week, and that's only the three that I'm reading, because the Texas state trooper who arrested Sandra Bland 3 days before she was found dead in her jail cell was just fired this week as well. So they looked at the tapes. He was in Prairie View, Texas, which happens to be close to Beaumont,